Some tech companies are rescuing the stock market, at least this morning. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The NASDAQ composite at the moment is up 0.6% in early trading. The Dow is up 195 points plus 0.8%, and the S&P 500 is up 0.7%. Some of this turnaround in the stock market is the electric car company Tesla reporting a profit, where quarterly losses had been the rule. Tesla's stock is up 8%. Twitter, the advertising and short message company, also had profits that were a lot better than expected, and its stock is up 16%. Amazon posts its results later today. All of this is ahead of the big economic growth reading due tomorrow morning. Let's bring in Diane Swonk, chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Welcome.
Good morning.
Looking ahead for a moment here, Diane, tomorrow we get the government's headline indicator of economic growth in America, gross domestic product, GDP, covering much of the summer. Should we pay attention to that? I mean, GDP doesn't correlate to how well we're doing.
The GDP numbers, I think, are important, and they do tell us, give us a sense of where momentum is in the U.S. economy. Do we have a big overhang of inventories, for instance, that we have to work off down the road? That's something bad and takes away from us if it adds to growth. On the other side of it, if businesses are investing at a faster pace than much of the expansion, those are good things for the U.S. economy.
Now, that's Diane Swonk, economist, answering that question. But what about Diane Swonk, real person, mother, resident of the Chicago area? Do you really care about gross domestic product? Because when it goes up, you might not be getting better.
That's exactly right. And the reality is that we know that there's more than one economy out there. There's often at least two. And that's the overall economy and the rest of the economy where, you know, the aggregate numbers often obscure a lot of pain that individuals are feeling, even in what's considered a good economy. Wage gains have not been what we'd like them to be, and for the most part, have not kept up with inflation. But the bottom line is, overwhelming majority of the economy in recent surveys, over about 60% of people, say they don't feel that much better.
Diane Swonk is chief economist at Grant Thornton. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The latest round of U.S. tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports went into effect last month, but it has now become clear there is no way to get an exemption if a U.S. business wants to claim some special circumstance or perhaps hardship from these import taxes, and that is causing consternation. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Procter & Gamble is pleading with the Trump administration, please, just give us an official way of making our case for a tariff exemption. They get radio silence. Henrietta Trays is managing partner at Veda Partners.
They have been very outspoken, saying, we have sent numerous letters to the administration, we've worked through our local congressman, and we can't get an audience. We can't get an exemption process.
Other companies are also frustrated, but aren't speaking out. Trays says consumers will start complaining when these tariffs go up next year, and if the Trump administration starts taxing the rest of the stuff we buy from China.
The consumer is very sensitive to these tariffs when it starts to hit their everyday bottom line.
Trey says at that point, if there's still no formal way to escape the tariffs, companies like Walmart will start speaking out. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative told me it has no announcements on any tariff exclusion process at this time. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Sign up for our daily e-newsletter by October 31st, and you could be in for a Halloween treat. We're giving away 10 Marketplace treat bags filled with some great swag, including the coffee mug that I helped design. I thought it was a great line. They listened to me. Subscribe today at marketplace.org for your chance to win, and good luck. Now to the U.S. housing market losing steam, specifically fancy condos. Data show that most of the new construction from 2012 to 2014 in the bigger cities was for the luxury market. Now in Miami, that growth has led to an oversupply of condos in the downtown area. Prices are dropping, but the typical price, $450,000, is still more than most people can afford. Sam Turkin reports.
Deborah Shelton Tynes has two condos for sale at the Marquee. It's a luxury condo tower with private elevators and unimpeded views of Miami Beach, Biscayne Bay, and the Port of Miami. Shelton Tynes shows me her balcony on the 50th floor.
Although we do get some salt spray on windy days when the ships are turning around.
Shelton Tynes, a photographer, is moving out. She's listing the two spaces together for about $2.3 million. When she had them on the market 3 years ago, the price tag for both was about $1 million more.
By 2016, everything started to go down.
More than 20 condo buildings have sprouted up across downtown Miami in the last decade. Christopher Zoller is a realtor with EWM Realty. He says there's now a glut.
When you've got too many loaves of bread on the shelf, the next day you're going to see day-old bread sold at half price.
Other cities are seeing a similar excess of luxury housing, condos and apartments. Chris Herbert with Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies says the price drops could ultimately benefit renters.
The hope has been that by building a large quantity of high-end rental apartments, you'd create slack in the system that would then result in rents falling.
But in Miami, Annie Lord says that's not happening. Lord directs the nonprofit Miami Homes for All. She says Miami-Dade County's affordable housing supply is shrinking. A recent study by the website Apartmentlist found Miami renters spend more of their income on rent than any other big city in the country. The median rent is $2,500.
60% of our residents pay more than what they can afford.
Olga Miranda lives in a Miami suburb. She says she works full-time as a preschool teacher and supplements her income as a dollar store cashier, but she still can't afford her rent.
You get like, what am I going to do? And then you have a life here, and I have an 18-year-old, and she don't want to move either, so it's very hard.
Miranda says she doesn't have a choice. She has to move by the end of the year. In Miami, I'm Sam Turkin for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.